Words for Life is by Reverend Kevin Pedersen of Ormond Anglican Church here in Melbourne.
Morning, everyone. We're at the second week in our series, working our way through Luke, and we're thinking about kingdom priorities today. So please let's pray. And Father, we sit here this morning only too aware of the many pressures that are placed upon us by our environment and by our circumstances, and by the desire that beats away in our hearts. Pray you would still our hearts this morning, that we might hear from you and discern your priorities and adjust our will to yours. Father, teach us, for we are in need, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we are fast approaching a federal election. I hope the excitement isn't getting to you. What would you do if you had absolute power? Well, that's the question for today. Absolute power. What would you do if you had absolute power? Now, I know it's not the case with the officials we elect in this country. Thank God for that. But in some places, when somebody comes to prominence or power, it is almost as if their power was absolute. What do you think about that? Just imagine that you did have absolute power. What would you do first? And I'm talking about the kind of power that can fix climate change or eliminate poverty or sickness or death. I'm talking about that kind of power. If I was able to give that to you this morning, what would you do first? I wonder, would you go out to where the ordinary people were? Would you perhaps go home for lunch with one of them? Would you maybe try a spot of fishing? It's just funny, isn't it? That's just not what I would do. How about you? Was that your first thought? I'll go fishing. Wasn't mine. In our series on the kingdom in Luke, today we come to think about kingdom priorities. Jesus is the king of God's kingdom, and as such, he has absolute power. Absolute. Put it another way, there's nothing Jesus cannot do. Think about that as you watch him, as we make our way through Luke over the next few weeks. It's not just kind of, you know, we're so familiar with Jesus. Oh, yeah, that's Jesus. No. Think again. This guy has absolute power, and watch what he does. If you watch him, you will begin to understand his kingdom priorities, the priorities of the kingdom. And then you'll have a way of thinking about your own. I'm really looking forward to taking that thought with me through the series. Thanks for reading, Peter. We started with Jesus in Capernaum. And if you just read back a few verses, the bits we missed since last week, you'll see that he's speaking in a synagogue where he's interrupted by a man with an evil spirit, and he heals him and he is praised. He then goes back to Simon's place for lunch, and his mother-in-law is sick, so he heals her and she serves them. And when the Sabbath ends, sun goes down, all the people, we're told, let me read it for you, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sicknesses and he healed them. So that's kind of what's happened. What is it? Jesus has absolute authority. It's a picture of God's kingdom rule in action. Jesus' word has authority and power. That's the message. Evil spirit come out. Mother-in-law get well. You lot get healed. That's who we're dealing with here. But the next morning, he gets up early and prays and decides that he must preach the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent. So I'm running for prime minister, and I'm in Brisbane or some other outlandish place, and I happen to be able to heal people that day, and the crowds are gathering. Am I going to go somewhere else? No, I'm going to bask in the limelight. I'm going to enjoy myself. I'm going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. Is that right? Not Jesus. Things are going so well. I mean, the Bondi tram is rattling down the hill at 1,000 miles an hour. What a great time we're all having, but it's time to stop that and go somewhere else. Just extraordinary. Just when things are going well, he leaves. So he doesn't think like an advertising executive or a political influencer. There's something else driving Jesus. That's his kingdom priorities. We need to find out what that is. Then he meets Simon Peter and his partners by the lake. Jesus borrows Peter's boat. The crowd's building up. He doesn't want to get squashed. He's got some teaching to do, so he sees the boat, gets in the boat, and Peter, who is cleaning his nets on the shore, must have given it a shove, so he goes out about 3 metres. I hope the thing's on a rope, because Jesus is a preacher, not a fisherman, and Simon continues on his task, right? You can use the boat. Right, I'm still cleaning my nets. So if you like, Jesus speaks over Peter to the crowds, and Peter is listening. When he's done, he turns to Peter and he says, "Come on, let down your empty nets for a catch." Okay, he's a good preacher. You have to give Jesus that. But Peter is the fisherman in this conversation. So look at verse 5. Could we have that up on the screen, mate, verse 5? Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." Okay, you're Peter. What voice are you going to use in your reply to Jesus' great idea that we should go fishing now? I'll finish my sermon. What voice are you going to use? There it is on the screen. Have a think about it. What do you reckon? How are you going to say it? Daryl's got an idea. What is it? Yeah. A bit. What's the tone? Is it incredulous? Is it sarcastic? What is it? It's a bit of sarcasm, yeah. Grudging, that's a good word. Yeah. What other voice might you use? Come on, we're going to put this thing on stage next week. You've got the part of Peter. Well, how are you going to say it? Dismissive. Yeah, they're good words. Yeah, it's not going to be straight, is it? It's a bit... I've just finished cleaning my nets. Come on. Fill the things with seaweed again just to entertain some preacher. All right. Is that the kind of tone? Well, they do. Gets in his boat, out they go. And the most surprising thing of all happens. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signalled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came, and they filled both boats so full that they began to sink. Now, Peter gets another line. Verse 8. What voice are you going to use now? Slightly sarcastic? No. Dismissive? No. How are you going to say it? You've got to deliver this line. Sheepish. Sheepish. Someone over here? Humble pie. Awestruck. Incredulous. Yeah. It's changed, hasn't it? Now, up until this point in Luke's gospel, Simon Peter, notice the way those two words are put together in this reading, is Simon. And after this episode, Simon Peter is Peter. Not all the rest of the way through the gospel. So there's a little clue there by the author. Something's changed here for Peter. I think you can see it, but he puts a little literary clue in there as well. okay, what's going on? Well, Peter puts two and two together, doesn't he? It's not about the fish. It's not about the fish. His question of how turns into a question of who. And he falls at Jesus' knees. Now, do you normally fall at somebody's knees? What do you normally fall on? You normally fall at people's feet. But Peter falls at Jesus' knees because Jesus is standing in a boat, and what's the boat full of? Fish. So all you can see is his knees. So it's written very carefully. Peter falls at Jesus' knees. Why? Who can order up two boats full of fish? Who can order up that? Who? Who can cast an evil spirit out of a man at church that morning? Who can heal his mother-in-law? Who can heal all the sick people in his town? Who? Who is standing with him in his boat? That is not a safe distance. Who do you pray to? Who do you believe in? Whose name is on this church, Christchurch Ormond? Who is your Lord and Master? Suddenly Peter sees who Jesus is. Does it surprise you that Jesus' next words to him are, "Don't be afraid"? Peter is in the same boat with Jesus. Someone who has absolute power. Because Jesus is the Messiah. He's the Christ. He's the Son of God. So may we say with Peter, Jesus Christ is Lord. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. Previously he called him Master. Because once you let Jesus into your boat, it's not about fish anymore. Right? Peter was a fisherman. He'd worked all night, no fish. He's disappointed. He's cleaning his nets. Along comes this preacher, uses his boat for a bit, and then says, let's go fishing. His expectations must have been, right? Suddenly he has not just one boat full of fish, two, and more fish than you can fit into those. I mean, this guy must have everything he's ever wanted. He doesn't care. Something else has happened. Something bigger than fish. Something bigger than your salary or your job description or your house or your holidays or your qualifications or your children or your Facebook page or the circles in which you move or anything else. Something bigger than fish. Peter's in the boat with the Lord of the universe, who has absolute power, and he's terrified. My best friend announced his retirement. He was the vicar of St. Mark's. He finishes in 3 months' time. When he finishes, who is he? What about you? What about when you retire? Who will you be when you retire? Or what about if you're made redundant? Who will you be then? Or what about if you lose your mum or one of your friends disses you? Or you get injured and lose the use of a limb, or you get cancer, or perhaps you're bankrupt. Who are you then? Or what if you die? You see, coming face to face with Jesus is just like compressing all these questions, because you come face to face with someone who has ultimate power, and that introduces the ultimate question. Think about most of your prayers. They're way too small, aren't they? And when you don't get what you want, do you give up on God? Peter's got a boat full of fish, two boats. Actually, he doesn't want it anymore. That's so confusing, isn't it? He's finally got everything he ever wanted and he doesn't want it anymore. He's seen the King of the Kingdom. He wants to be with him now. Being with Jesus redefines reality. Everything changes. Please hear this. All that is required to make things happen is for Jesus to say it. Jesus says it, and it happens. It's the same power that was at work in creation. That's why John starts his gospel with, "In the beginning was the Word." It is by a word that Jesus accomplishes all things, except with people. That's the thing about the gospel that puzzles me the most. People he invites, he doesn't command. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll catch people." So they pulled their boat up on the shore, left everything and followed him. COVID has presented each one of us with a great big fat reset button. Old patterns have been broken. New ones are yet to be established. We're in this kind of period where we're not quite sure. It's the perfect time for us to review our priorities, both as a church and as individuals. Let 2022 be your reset button. But don't be lazy and just react. Include Jesus in the process. No one knows you like he does. Every day is his good gift to you. Stop worrying about fish. He has absolute power. He knows your needs before you even ask him. My encouragement to you is don't waste this opportunity to draw near to Jesus again and let his kingdom priorities build God's purposes into your life and see where he will take you. Don't be afraid. The Lord be with you.